Mahomes, shotgun snap, drops back five, got the block. They come on the side, he winds up, he throws a long pass, wide open Hill, catches the ball at the 22 of San Francisco. What a play by Mahomes!
NFL Live, weekdays at 7 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Presented by Easton Roofing and Miller Lite.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
Hello and welcome to another edition of NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. As always, we are presented by the great taste of Miller Lite. I'm Nate Buchady with you, as always, on a Monday edition of NFL Live KC. And how appropriate is it today on 810 that we are exactly 1 month away from the kickoff of the 2020 NFL season, the Kansas City Chiefs against the Houston Texans on Thursday night NFL football. We have a big show coming up for you over the next hour. We are going to get you ready for Chiefs training camp as it is underway. You're going to hear voices like Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Sammy Watkins, Adam Teicher of ESPN, and Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star. It's all straight ahead on a jam-packed hour of NFL talk right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. As I mentioned, a month away from the first game of the regular season, and of course, it features your Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. And look, there's a lot of uncertainty out there these days, right? We're still finding out what the future is. There's going to be a future for college football this season. The NFL is hoping to pull this thing off outside of a bubble. There are certainly going to be challenges with that. Patrick Mahomes says for the players, nothing can be taken for granted this season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just the uncertainty of every single day coming in and not knowing exactly the routine that you always have been accustomed to. But I think it's a good challenge to have. It's dealing with adversity early in the season, early even in the off season, and trying to do that and try to come out better on the other side. And so I think it's going to be challenging for everybody in this league. But I'm excited for the challenge to try to go out there and show the world that we can do this the right way if we do it the safe way.
But we're all going to take an optimistic viewpoint on this thing and be hopeful that the NFL, with their infinite resources, with their ability to put in place good protocols and procedures, the time they've had to watch these other leagues do the things they're doing to try to ensure a regular season, they're going to be able to pull this thing off. And that means, if they are, that the Chiefs will be spending 2020 as the defending Super Bowl champions. And look, there's been a lot of brash talk by this team so far about running it back. They want to win this Super Bowl, not just another one, but many more to come. And certainly with all the returning starters that they have, some of the talent that they've brought in through the draft and free agent signings, they feel like they've got the most talented roster in the NFL. But when it comes to the head coach, Andy Reid, he doesn't get caught up in any of that trash talk.
Listen, you guys know how I roll with that. I'm not big on it, but on the other hand, I appreciate their confidence, but now it's time to work. So you put all that aside and you got to grind down and get going. And so they've been willing to do that. And I think they'll continue to do that. That's the way they're wired there. But, you know, it's a long off season with a lot of people asking a lot of questions. So things happen but we move on. And like I said, you got to go through this process.
So Andy Reid's challenge is to keep the guys grounded and focused. Yes, you want to have them confident and believing that they can go run this thing back in 2020, but you can't be complacent because the NFL is a difficult league. There's talent everywhere. There are good teams that are going to find creative ways to try to stop you from doing what you did last year. And of course, the Chiefs didn't have that offseason of OTAs and mini camps and rookie mini camps and all those things to try to get ready for this 2020 season. But Andy Reid says this unusual offseason has actually had some positives, one of them being for the quarterback Patrick Mahomes, because it's actually allowed him some time to sit back and study the trends and things that his opponents are trying to do to stop him.
Yeah, well, this has been a great offseason for that, where we could go team by team and look at the different ways that they're trying to work against you, take things out from the year before when he had an opportunity to play and and look at those different looks that teams are giving you. I thought that that review process, where you couldn't do anything else but kind of do that, what was beneficial to him. And you know how he's wired. I mean, he focuses in on things, and you give him a task and he digs in on it and works through it. So I think that helped him. Again, we've got great defensive minds in this league. So these guys are putting together these unique looks for him, and he's able to look through that as it's slowed down here a little bit with the offseason and power through it. At the same time, he knows he's going to get some more new looks. But that's kind of how you build your quarterback resume as you go. It takes a couple, 3-4 years there, you know, to get everything down, and then you're rolling.
It's a scary thought that Patrick Mahomes might even be better at diagnosing what teams are trying to do against him in the years to come. But as Andy Reid said, they're going to be throwing different things at him every single week. Teams are going to keep trying new things against Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs until they find something, if they ever can, that actually works. But it's not just Patrick Mahomes for Andy Reid, who maybe has benefited from the downtime of this offseason. Reid says there were some positives this offseason for the whole team.
Yeah, well, we're going back. We've obviously done our offseason studies. We were able to give the players that over Zoom, and now we're able to work on those things. And then any additions that we put in, we're able to work on those. And, you know, the one nice thing about having it slowed down a little bit is that you're able to teach. You can walk through it. Now we're able to run through it, and then eventually we'll get into pads, and there's no lull in the action. There hasn't been that month off where guys have put it aside and then they come back and they're right into the mix. So I look at that for right now as a positive thing. Everybody'd love to have the off season, but that's not what it is. So the positive is that we're getting all that worked in. The guys have been so receptive. You can tell that they paid attention on the Zoom, which can be tough, you know, when you're at home and some of these guys have children. So you got the little ones running around and kind of juggling that. But their retention's been great, and they've been working hard. So we appreciate that.
All right, so Andy Reid trying to find some positives. Look, you can't control the situation. It is what it is. Nobody could do anything about the lack of OTAs. It's what you do with your current situation. You get the sense that Andy Reid, with that mentality, is going to have this team as ready as anybody to start this regular season with no preseason games, no OTAs, no mini camps, just diving right in a month from tonight with the first game of the regular season. My money is on the Kansas City Chiefs to be as ready as anybody. All right, we're off and running with this edition of NFL Live KC presented by Miller Lite. When we come back, we're going to hear from Sammy Watkins, a man who obviously was crucial in the playoffs, decided to maybe take less money to come back to the Chiefs for a chance to run it back, as they say. We'll hear from him and what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes think of having Sammy Watkins back as well. That's straight ahead on NFL Live KC right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's a special day on Sports Radio 810 WHB, as it is 810 today. Happy birthday to Sports Radio 810, and it is 1 month away from the first game of the 2020 NFL season, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. NFL Live KC, presented by Miller Lite, continues. I'm your host, Nate Bucati, on these Mondays. And we're going to talk now about one of the many tremendous skill position players that the Kansas City Chiefs have at their disposal, Sammy Watkins. Of course, many of us thought that Sammy Watkins might be one of those cap casualties for the Kansas City Chiefs after this past season. No way could they afford to carry the salary cap number that he brought into this season, and he would probably want to get that money somewhere else. Turns out the Chiefs were able to renegotiate a deal with Sammy Watkins. He took a little bit less money, $9 million, still a lot to most of us, but less than what he could have made. And of course, he can get back to that if he hits certain incentives through the course of this season. But Sammy Watkins deciding to stay in Kansas City, he said that returning to the Chiefs was always his number one priority.
Very important to stay here. I think for what we did and winning the Super Bowl and the type of team and coaches we have, organization, why wouldn't I stay? You know what I mean? I'm a guy that's been in the league now going on 7 years, and I've been on teams where I was not so good, and we weren't winning. So my job was to really stay focused and, you know, be on a team to where we got a well-established quarterback, well-established team, and coaches, organization. And I think the fun is in the winning more than anything.
And also about the World War III and whether you still feel that way?
Not necessarily World War III. I'm just a deep guy. I think deeply. But I think now I'm past that phase of looking into things. I just really want to get back to football. I think that's the important thing in my life that I want to focus on, football, family, and just focus on being a better player, a better man.
So at the end there, you heard Adam Teicher of ESPN, who, by the way, we'll hear from coming up in the next segment of this show, asking Sammy Watkins about a comment about World War III. If you don't know what that's referencing, there was a Bleacher Report article earlier this month in which Sammy Watkins said that he wants 100 targets this season as a wide receiver for the Chiefs, or, quote, it'll be World War III, saying that, look, he's not going to be a happy guy if he gets under 100 targets. So if you want some frame of reference on that, last season Sammy had 90 targets. Now, he played in 14 games. Remember, missed a couple of games because of injuries. He made 13 starts. If you average that out, if he plays full 16 games, looking at something like 96, 97 targets for the season, so close to that 100 target number. So part of that challenge falls on Sammy Watkins. You got to be healthy. You got to be available to play every day, and that hasn't really ever been the case for Watkins through the course of his NFL career. Now, he ended up in those 90 targets having 52 receptions for 673 yards in the regular season. Then, of course, we all know about the great postseason he had. Actually, from a target standpoint, it wasn't that much higher than what he got in the regular season. But it was more efficiency out of those targets. You're talking about 52 catches out of 90 targets in the regular season. In the three postseason games, he had 15 receptions on just 18 targets. They threw the ball his way 18 times, and all but three of them turned into receptions for 288 yards. If you take that average of 18 targets per three games, over a 16-game schedule, you're looking at 96 or so targets in a season. So is that 100-target mark really achievable for Sammy Watkins? He's done it once in his career, and that was his rookie season, 2014. 128 targets for Sammy Watkins that year. Ironically, he didn't even have 1,000 yards receiving. He did that the next year, but in under 100 targets. Now, he said there in that answer to Adam Teicher that's not really his main focus and his main priority this season, so I don't think we have to worry about it. And also, the thing you have to remember, and I think Sammy Watkins understands this, you still got to get the ball to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. How many more touches is Mecole Hardman going to want this season as he takes a step forward in his sophomore season? Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a guy that's going to get a lot of touches out of the backfield this year. There's only one football to spread around to all of those players. But for Andy Reid, when it comes to that talk about World War III and 100 targets, he was never worried about any of that stuff as it pertains to his wide receiver.
Yeah, I'm a big Sammy Watkins fan, so I think he's a heck of a football player and really helps us make this thing go offensively. So I don't worry about all that. I'd hope he'd want the ball more. I mean, that's what great players want, and so that doesn't bother me that he said that. I'm glad he's back here, and he'll have opportunities for sure.
Andy Reid seems to know how to handle the egos of a lot of these players, at least so far. He basically has them all convinced that if everybody wins, the pie is big enough for everybody to get their piece. And, of course, they all got to celebrate that Super Bowl with the Chiefs fans afterwards, and it's a little bit easier to sell that vision when those guys get to see what it's like to walk around as a Super Bowl champion. And for Watkins, he says, look, yeah, the individual numbers are great, but they're secondary to the team goals.
I think every receiver or any player want to go out there and do well and, you know, score touchdowns or catch as many as balls as you possibly can and get the yards. And as myself, I want those type of things. And now, do I have to be mad or angry at the guys going out there getting it? No, I love my guys. I love to see guys going out there balling. And it's my job and my duty to serve others as well as they serve me. So as a receiver, yeah, of course, I want more balls and would love to have more balls, but that's not my focus. My focus in is getting the win and going out there having fun.
I was curious what you're visualizing for yourself in 2020 when it comes to yards, touchdowns, and maybe a role with the team.
Visualizing Super Bowl, I think when you're playing this game and you're on the type of team that we're on, as far as individual goals, yeah, you love to have those numbers. You love to have all the touchdowns, but you got to be realistic with yourself and say that we have arguably seven superstars on one offense. I just think it's hard on the coaches. It's not hard on me. My game is just going out there playing, but definitely have big goals for us to win the Super Bowl, and that's the goal. And individual goals is definitely set, but I think the focus is to stay on trying to win games. And if we can win games and Super Bowl and I can get 1,000 yards, then hey, that'd be great. As far as my contract, I think I made enough money. I mean, I love more money, but as far as being smart and educated on this team and knowing that, you know, you got to pay Pat, you got to pay Chris, you got a lot of guys you got to pay. So for me to take a contract like I did was a blessing. I still have an opportunity to reach up to whatever amount that I can reach up to. But just really just showing the world, like, it's not all about money. This is my happy place. So why not take a smaller contract and, you know, come out here and play with the guys I've been playing with.
Some of the things I liked about that follow-up question, you hear Sammy Watkins there say when he's asking what he visualizes for himself, he said, I'm visualizing a Super Bowl. That's a team goal. That's not an individual goal. He didn't talk about individual numbers there. And he said he knows it's hard on the coaches. That was his quote, to try to get the ball to all these guys. And that's certainly the case, especially if every guy on the team is going to be a me guy and go back and say, hey, I want my touches. Where are my touches? I think one of the things these guys realize, too, is that one game, it might be McCole Hardman's day to have a big day, and the next day it might be Sammy Watkins as well, because they saw that last year. But the most important part for Sammy Watkins, he says money isn't the most important thing. Quote, I'm in my happy place. This is a guy that's talked openly about some of the battles he's had with mental health and things like that through the course of his life. He feels mentally healthy and happy in Kansas City. He might understand better than most how important that is versus getting individual statistics or money. So Sammy Watkins, happy to be in Kansas City. And another guy that's happy to have him in Kansas City is Patrick Mahomes, who enjoys Watkins' personality in the locker room.
I mean, he's been a great teammate. I mean, he's been someone that since day one has joined in at that receiver room. I mean, it's probably the D-line is probably the most fun room you could probably be in this locker room. And he's been someone that's been a leader in that room and someone that's got along with everybody. I mean, we as the quarterbacks, receivers, running backs, and tight ends and guys, we go usually, well, probably not this year, but we go usually out to eat with the families, the girlfriends, and we kind of just all hang out and eat dinner and sometimes go play chicken and pickle, play pickleball, whatever it is. And so we all have great relationships in that room and the whole offensive and defensive room. That's what makes this team so special.
If you have the endorsement of Patrick Mahomes for this team, you are going to go a long way. And that is certainly the case right now for Sammy Watkins. But it's not just in the locker room. Mahomes says Watkins is a big part of the Chiefs offense.
I mean, it was extremely important. I mean, to have someone of his caliber who really goes out there and plays well every single week. And like you said, I mean, he does so many things well. Obviously he catches the ball well. He scores for us, makes a lot of plays after contact. But also, I mean, just as far as blocking or running the routes hard and getting other guys open, I mean, in this offense, it takes every single person. And I think you saw that when the playoffs and his number got called, he made big plays happen. And so it's a guy that we love having back, and that's going to really help our offense continue to progress and get better.
Of course, we particularly saw that in the playoffs last year, as Sammy Watkins was about as important as any skill position player that the Chiefs had. So, with that being said, the Chiefs going forward into 2020, they are set at the skill positions. Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, find a faster trio of wide receivers in the NFL, I dare you. And then, of course, you put in Travis Kelce, who has been the most prolific pass-catching tight end over a four-year stretch these past four seasons in NFL history, and then you add Clyde Edwards-Helaire to the mix, and things look pretty good for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to play for you the conversation we had with Adam Teicher of ESPN. He joined myself, Stephen St. John, and Jacob Terrez on the Border Patrol this morning. That's straight ahead on NFL Live KC, presented by Miller Lite. NFL Live KC on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City. Sports Radio 810 WHB continues on this Monday, 1 month from kickoff between the Chiefs and Texans to start the 2020 season. Nate Buchady with you, and we are presented, as always, by the great taste of Miller Lite. Well, every Monday morning on the Border Patrol with myself and Stephen St. John and Jake Gutierrez, we have a chance to talk Chiefs with Adam Teicher of ESPN. He breaks down the Chiefs as well as anybody. He was participating in all of those Zoom calls this past weekend with Chiefs players and coaches, and we started our conversation with Adam by talking about Sammy Watkins and his newfound happy place.
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be in a good place right now, as opposed to maybe where he was, you know, when he talked to Bleacher Report a few months ago, because he seems to be okay with everything that's going on. And I've always found him, since he's been with the Chiefs, I've always found Sammy Watkins to be very refreshing. I mean, I feel like he says what's on his mind, and it's not always the politically correct stuff. And, you know, he said yesterday that, you know, he's made enough money now, you know, and he can afford to take a contract that's maybe more incentive-based than salary based. So, you know, it's all, you know, I find that kind of stuff very refreshing. So, you know, and I know the Chiefs wanted him back very badly. And, you know, Brett Veach was great talking about him after the AFC Championship game last year. You remember Watkins had the big game and caught the long touchdown that to put the game out of reach. And, Veach basically said, we didn't sign Sammy Watkins for the regular season. We're good enough in the regular season. We need him to be big in these games to get us over the hump. And I thought that was great honesty on his part, too, and it's proved to be true. I mean, you know, do the Chiefs, you know, they probably have enough to beat Tennessee without him last year, but do they win the Super Bowl without that big catch he made against Richard Sherman in the fourth quarter to set up a go-ahead touchdown? So, you know, he does have a place on this team, and you can tell from the Chiefs' actions, forget about their words, that they really wanted him around.
Well, and it also says something about the perspective. I thought it was interesting listening to him talk about the fact that he's been other places and he knows what it's like to play on a team all year that's not winning games. I mean, I think that for some guys, like, I thought about that with Chris Jones a lot. He's only known this organization, and it's maybe harder to understand the value of what it's like to go through an entire season playing meaningful football as opposed to going through an entire six-month season when your team is not winning games. And Sammy Watkins had that perspective, and he decided, you know what, it's worth a little bit just to be in a situation like this with the Chiefs.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Being with another team gives you some you know, perspective that you just can't have otherwise. And, you know, I do think that's a valuable thing. And as far as Watkins goes, the, you know, he's probably going to have to choose, or maybe he already has chosen. You know, if he wants huge numbers and he wants to win in Kansas City, he's probably not going to get both of those things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's probably only going to get one of those things. And, you know, so I feel like, you know, the numbers are never going to be there for him. He's just not the consistent down-after-down guy that Travis Kelce is or Tyreek Hill is. Maybe Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be for the Chiefs. So, you know, maybe even Mecole Hardman. We'll have to see where he fits in. So I just feel like it's never going to be there unless a bunch of guys get hurt or some things otherwise change for the Chiefs. For Sammy Watkins, the way it possibly could the other place, so he's going to have to be happy with that winning part of it, because I don't know the other piece is going to be there for him.
So, what are your expectations for Mecole Hardman? Because a lot of people feel like he's going to take a big step forward this season, and if he does, it becomes an even bigger part of the offense. That's fewer catches to go around. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a tremendous receiver out of the backfield. He could take away some catches. And look, it's an awesome problem to have. And you would think because this comes along with winning, they won a Super Bowl, that may keep everyone focused. Like, hey, look, you know, it's one thing if this happened and you were fighting for catches on a 7 or 8 win team. but you won a Super Bowl, the proof's in the pudding, and so you know that the formula works. But how do you think Mecole Hardman in his second year and Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a rookie will affect the offense and the ball distribution?
Yeah, well, they'll get their pieces of the pie, and Hardman's will be bigger, I would assume, than last year, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be bigger than what the running backs took for most of last year. So there's going to maybe be less for everybody. I don't know. We'll see how the Chiefs make it work, but you're right. It's a good problem to have. As far as Hardman goes, he was so productive in his playing time last year that you got to give him more. You got to see if you can get more than, you know, 20-some catches, and the 8 touchdowns were great, but maybe he can bump that number up some, too. So, you know, the big plays compared to his playing time were obviously there. You know, so that maybe is a place the Chiefs can grow their offense some. You know, Edwards-Helaire is another area where maybe they can grow their offense some, getting something out of that. So there's only so much to go around, and I don't see Sammy Watkins being the guy who – you know, takes a step forward in that department this year. Maybe Hardman a little bit, maybe Edwards-Helaire over the running backs from last year. You know, and I think that you know, with Hill and Kelce fighting for theirs, I think that it's going to be tough for Sammy Watkins to be a consistently productive player for the Chiefs. But it doesn't mean he's not helping them win.
Okay, Adam, let's talk more about Clyde Edwards-Helaire then, because I know that one of your favorite things about me is my tendency to overhype and get overexcited about young players coming in.
I call it your cockiness. we can differ on the certain.
That's right. We established that last week. My cockiness is Adam Teicher's favorite thing about me. Louis Riddick, who clearly talks to people within the Chiefs organization on a consistent basis. He was, of course, out front hyping Patrick Mahomes before he ever really played any meaningful snaps for the Chiefs. He tweeted this out last night. Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be the first overall pick in fantasy drafts this season. I have had some success with taking rookie running backs first overall in the draft in the past at Saquon. Peace sign. So I can't overhype him more than Louis Riddick, can I? If he's saying that Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be the first overall pick in fantasy drafts, what say you, Adam Teicher?
No, it, you know, you're right about Louis Riddick. I mean, he used to work with Andy Reid with the Eagles. He worked with Brett Veach, so he knows those guys really well. And, you know, he hadn't been wrong about a lot of this stuff. So, you know, the Chiefs are obviously excited about it and are telling him about it. And I think there's, you know, I there's a part of me that wants to wait here a little bit and say it's tough for rookies. And I think maybe it's tough for all rookies, not just Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I think we all tend to give winning teams, Super Bowl winning teams, the benefit of every doubt. And I think it's those kind of rose-colored glasses that maybe everybody's put on and looked at Clyde Edwards-Helaire and said, wow, talented guy playing with Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid will make sure that he designs some stuff to get him ball a lot. And everybody's sort of adding that up and thinking, wow, this is going to be big. And I think it has that potential for sure. But I'm not ready to get on that bandwagon that it's just going to be a monster rookie year for him right away. I do think that it'll be tough for all rookies. So we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, I think the possibilities are there. And you know that's what Louis Riddick is hearing from his people here in Kansas City, that they're pretty excited about where this is going with Edwards-Helaire.
We have Adam Teicher on the line. And DeAndre Washington was, well, that was a nice signing in the offseason. And they still have, you know, Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson from last year's roster, and so it's amazing that they were able to do this thinking they were still going to have Damian Williams And so they left him in a pretty reasonable situation. But what about DeAndre Washington? I feel like a lot of people forgot he was even signed there for a while. But now he could end up playing a key role if he ends up being the backup or one of the guys that that comes in relief of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or if something happens to the rookie. That's a guy at least that has had some good experience in the NFL and offers a veteran to the depth chart.
Yeah, I feel like if something does happen to Edwards-Helaire, an injury or whatever, and he can't be the lead featured back or is out of the lineup for a period of time, I think DeAndre Washington maybe gives the Chiefs more upside, the most upside of any of their other running backs right now. So, yeah, I think that signing, particularly in light of Damian Williams opting out, is really looking good for the Chiefs. But, you know, you wonder a little bit. I mean, he's never done it over a long period of time. And for running backs, more than any other position in the game, it's one thing to do it at running back for a short period of time. It's another to do it over a long period of time. And you find very few backs who can do it for more than a season or whatever, two seasons. I mean, you can find very few backs that can handle that. That's a really difficult position to play physically. The demands are really a lot, and that's why you see running backs wearing out so quickly. So, you know, let's see whether he could handle it if the Chiefs need him for a long period of time. But I do think there is some upside there, and I think that might be the Chiefs' best way to go when they're resting Edwards-Helaire, or when they're if there's an injury or some reason Edwards-Helaire can't play.
Hey, Adam, the season for the Kansas City Chiefs actually starts a month from today, and against the Texans. Yep. And over the weekend, I know that Andy Reid talked about a couple of the guys on the PUP list to start the season, and Juan Thornhill being a big one because he was really coming on as a player before that late season injury. How do you see the timeline playing out for him through this month leading up to the regular season?
Yeah, well, it really hasn't even been 8 full months since he had the injury. So this is pretty ambitious for him to be back out there right away. So it's not really surprising in that light. I know he was kind of active on social media during the off season, sort of hinting that it might happen. But I just felt like that was very ambitious. And the Chiefs aren't going to risk him and throw him out there any earlier than they feel like he's completely ready, because there's no sense in having his season end this soon. So, I feel like, you know, once you start getting to 9 months, then maybe you're looking at a guy who can start maybe getting involved a little bit. So maybe another right around maybe the time the regular season starts or a little after would be, I think, a reasonable time frame. But there's no reason for the Chiefs to rush him. I mean, if you want him as a true factor down the stretch, probably better to go slow. So, you know, as far as when he could play, it's hard to say, but, you know, I feel like 9 months might be a pretty good, you know, time for him to start to get involved, and that would be at the end of September.
All right, there's Adam Teicher. So we'll see when Juan Thornhill is ready to come back for the Chiefs. He'll start the season on the PUP, but I know they expect to have some big-time contributions for him by the time we get into the season. Hey, one other bit of news today. Tom Pelissero of NFL Network tweeted out, quote, Chiefs defensive end Alex Okafor signed a restructured contract recently that clears over $2 million off Casey's cap this year and makes Okafor a free agent next March, per source. He's now due a max of $4.96 million in 2020, including $860,000 in pregame roster bonuses and $2 million in incentives. So that's from Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear from Josh Briscoe as he takes us around all of the NFL coverage right here on Sports Radio 810 on 810, our birthday today. Back after this. This Monday edition of NFL Live KC continues on Sports Radio 810 WHB, presented as always by the great taste of Miller Lite. I am Nate Bucati with you, and of course, every night after NFL Live KC, you can hear almost entirely sports with the one and only Bellicose Josh Briscoe. He is going to give us a rundown of all the great NFL coverage you heard right here on Sports Radio 810 through the course of the day. Take it away, Josh.
Thank you, Nate. I'm trying to match your energy. It's a losing battle, but I'm going to try to keep it up there for you over the course of this segment. And what we're going to go to today, something you may have missed in the program today, as Todd Lebo was filling in for Sarin. They talked to our very good friend Seth Kaiser of The Athletic and now the chief of the North Newsletter. And they talked about Clyde Edwards-Helaire a little bit. And obviously, Seth loves the fit of Clyde in this offense. At this point, it seems like that is the most common possible opinion. Hey, this is going to be a great fit. And Seth was on it, I should say. Like, Seth was on it pre-draft, saying, hey, if they do draft the running back, it should be this guy. They took him in the first round, much to some of our chagrins, but, you know, that's gone. That's in the past now. But Lebo and Seth talked a little bit about Edwards-Helaire and Louis Riddick coming out and saying that he's looking really good as he can, basically, with limited action that he's had in camp so far. So talking about that report from Riddick, and Lebo asked Seth if it's going to be as tall an order as it seems like it might be for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to take over that number one running back role in this offense.
Oh, absolutely. It's an incredibly tall order, and they're going to be asking a lot of them, especially with Damian Williams opting out for the year. And I think that's, you know, a big part of it, understanding the size of the opportunity he's going to get. Something that I think people need to keep in mind is that traditionally when Andy Reid has had a clear-cut number one running back, he generally doesn't do running back by committee. You know, whether you're talking Brian Westbrook or LeSean McCoy or Jamal Charles or Kareem Hunt, when he had a clear-cut number one guy, that number one guy got, by and large, you know, 70% of the touches. I think we forget that because there's been some injuries over the last few years. Things have been kind of goofy, obviously, after Hunt got cut. And so I think we forget the number of opportunities you get as the number one guy in Reed's offense. And I think he's going to have a ton of them. Like you said, I love his fit. And I do think he has a really, really unique skill set that's going to allow him to excel. And like also, like you said, I mean, Lewis, he knows people in the Chiefs front office. There's a reason why last year he was tweeting about Juan Thornhill. The year before that, he was tweeting about Patrick Mahomes. For me, this isn't what he thinks based on his scouting or anything like that. This is based on probably what he's hearing from the coaches. And if they're thrilled with what he's doing so far, to me, that means he's going to get a lot of opportunities, and that's awesome to hear.
I think it's a really good point there from Seth to kind of go down the Brian Westbrook path, Westbrook, LeSean McCoy, Jamal Charles. And I do think that that's one of the reasons they ended up going with Clyde Edwards-Helaire is that Andy Reid likes to have a guy that he can leave out there and have do all things. So I think that's valid. I also still think that there are going to be times, you know, even then, whenever Seth talked about not having a committee, he used 70% as a cutoff line there. I think 30% of the carries are going to go elsewhere as Clyde takes over. And now the thing is that he has to start at a breakneck pace with no Damian Williams to kind of soften the blow of getting started in an NFL career, and no OTAs that they missed, you know, had to take virtually, no normal training camp, and no preseason games at all. That's the next thing that Lebo asked Seth about, looking at what exactly those challenges may be as these rookies have to come in, as Clyde Edwards-Helaire has to come in, with no professional games under his belt.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely going to be a tough, tough thing, a tall order for rookies this year. A lot of them talk about it's the speed of the NFL, and that's in both a physical and mental aspect of the game, right? I mean, you know, when you're in college, you usually played against teams that only had a couple of future pros on them at the absolute most, and so the athleticism wasn't as great, and the mental processing wasn't as great. And when you combine those, it's just crazy how different things are. One thing I advise people to do if they've ever got the wherewithal and the means to do it is to just take a look at what things look like when the quarterback is winding up to throw, and then when the ball's traveling to a receiver. Compare that to college and the pros. The pros are unbelievable, right? They track the ball so quickly. It's freakish. I would say this with regards to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I do think this type of offseason favors a team like the Chiefs that's really disciplined coming into the same system. With regards to him, the one thing that gives me hope that the adjustment to the pro game won't be quite as big a deal. Now, I'm not one to tell you that, you know, the SEC is a minor league for football or anything like that, but it is interesting that some of his best games did come against some of the top-notch competition, and especially, obviously, if you look at last year when you had the LSU-Alabama showdown, a lot of people walked away thinking that he looked like the best player on the field, and that's against an Alabama defense that is a majority future pros. So that tells me that the speed of the competition, when you watch his film, he looks like the same guy versus all levels of competition. And that tells me that, at least in the physical terms of it, he ought to be able to blend right in. But kind of what you alluded to, it's going to be a mental thing. And we're going to know probably by, I would say, midway through the second quarter, if not sooner, exactly what he's going to bring to the table.
I do think Clyde Edwards-Helaire's level of competition there, the consistency that comes with that, certainly matters. I also think it is going to be a new level. It is going to be both the speed and the literal and mental sense. It's going to really challenge him in his rookie year, and it's going to be the case for all rookies throughout the entire league. That was a little bit, though, of Seth Kaiser on the program today. If you want to hear the whole thing, go to 810WHB.com or check out the 810 mobile app. And I'll tell you, Nate, that as this segment is brought to you, this show is brought to you by Miller Lite. I'm gonna go see how many I can put down before Almost Entirely Sports starts here at 8 o'clock. We'll talk a lot about college football, where it's at right now, and we'll talk more Chiefs. If you heard this show and you're like, I like more Chiefs, please, no worries. Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest will join us at 9 o'clock tonight on Almost Entirely Sports. I'm on Miller time until it's AES time at 8. Until then, I'll hand it back to you, Nate.
All right, thank you very much, Josh. And once again, don't forget, you can check out all of the witty, sardonic humor and information of Almost Entirely Sports with Josh Briscoe and Rudy Salad Bar and the entire cast of thousands every night right after NFL Live KC on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up by playing back some comments for you from one and only Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star. That's straight ahead on NFL Live KC, presented by Miller Lite. We're back to wrap things up on this edition of NFL Live KC, presented by the great taste of Miller Lite, here on your home for the National Football League in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Happy 810 to you as well. Happy birthday to this wonderful radio station, and we appreciate you listening, as always, to our nightly NFL show known as NFL Live KC. To wrap things up, I'm going to play back a little bit of our interview with Sam Mellinger. He joins us for an hour every day on the Border Patrol with myself, Stephen St. John, and Jay Gutierrez. I'm going to play a little chunk where we talked some Chiefs football this morning, and we started off by talking about the man, again, who's in his happy place, wide receiver Sammy Watkins.
Can I say something about Sammy Watkins? I think
sure.
He this is armchair psychology. A little bit, you know, more than I'm entirely comfortable with, so everybody can feel free to just dismiss this. But Sammy Watkins has a background where he was drafted by the Bills and, you know, was just thoroughly unhappy there, personally, professionally, all of it. It was just a pretty terrible situation for him. Then gets traded to the Rams. You know, doesn't really feel like he fits in, all that. And then he comes to Kansas City, and I think what we know is that he is happy in Kansas City. Personally, he feels, you know, the stuff that Andy Reid and a lot of the players and coaches talk about with the culture, and, you know, players first and all this stuff. I mean, it's real, you know, like maybe in the beginning that, you know, it's sort of like fake it till you make it sort of stuff. But that stuff is real. And I think that Sammy Watkins feels that. And, you know, he has made a lot of money. And, you know, look, like I've never turned down $1 million or whatever. And I wouldn't expect anybody else to. But, you know, I think that that is an emotionally mature human being. Who knows what that other side is like, right? Like, he's got a perspective that Patrick Mahomes just can't have. You know, he's got a perspective that Travis Kelce, you know, I know he had the knee thing his rookie year, but, you know, there's a lot of guys that have just been drafted by the Chiefs and have just been happy. You know, they've just been in a really good environment. And I'm not saying they don't value that, but I think it's impossible for them to value it in the same way that Sammy Watkins does, if that makes sense. I think that that's where a lot of this stuff comes from. Now, he's still making $9 million, right? Like, he's, you know, he doesn't have to worry about, like, you know, how he's going to feed his family or whatever. But I think that allows him to have a perspective that,
you know, maybe some other guys just don't.
You think he'll catch more or less passes this year than he did last year? Assuming they play a full season.
Yeah. My instinct is less, just because I think that I think McCole Hardman is poised for potentially a really big year. I think he could have a breakout. And I also think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be a bigger part of the passing game than they've had in the past. So I just, you know, mouths to feed kind of thing. Now, like, obviously, like, injuries can turn this in a moment, right? Like, if nobody wants to think about this, but if Tyreek Hill or, you know, Travis Kelce, if somebody catches an injury and they're out a while, you know, those passes still need to be caught by somebody. But I think that there's more, I mean, this sounds so stupid to say out loud, but I'll just say it. They're going to have more skill position talent. It's so stupid, but they're going to have more skill position talent than they did last year. Because I think, you know, Edwards-Helaire, I really, and this is no offense to Damian Williams, who I think is a really, really good player and underappreciated in a lot of ways. But I think that Edwards-Helaire is an upgrade. And I think that Mecole Hardman, the 2020 version of Mecole Hardman, is going to be an upgrade over the 2019 version of Mecole Hardman. So, you know, just, you know, more mouths.
And maybe this is selfish, but I don't give a rat's ass how many catches he has in the regular season, because we know he's going to be ready to roll in the postseason.
Yeah, and I do think that there's a part of those comments. And look, like when he says World War III, you know, that does sort of raise your eyebrows a little bit, right? But you know, Andy Reid said this. Like, don't you want receivers to want the ball? Like, I mean, I don't think there's...
Yes!
Like, Michael Thomas probably feels like he should have had more catches last year, you know what I mean? Like, he probably felt like he was open and wasn't getting the ball. Yeah, I mean, that's how it goes. Like, basketball players want shots, baseball players want plate appearance. I mean, it's just, that's how it goes.
All right, there is Sam Mellinger of the Kansas City Star. Our thanks to him. Our thanks to Adam Teicher. We heard from Sammy Watkins, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and much more through the course of the show today. Don't forget, coming up next is Almost Entirely Sports with Josh Briscoe. And, of course, we'll have this show for you every single night, giving you the latest and greatest news from around the National Football League. NFL Live KC, presented by Miller Lite. We will see you again tomorrow night, same time, same channel. So long, everybody.